Hello, listeners. This is Dr. Taylor Hartman. You're on Very Best of Living. I'm here today with my close friend, Kat Larson. Hi, Kat.
Taylor Hartman. I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Oh, you're always ready. You're born ready. I know that about you. I like that, too. It's so fun. I was thinking about our working together and how much joy I feel working with you for lots of reasons. One of them because you're energized, and one because you like to do your work. Like, you're not one who just talks about it but doesn't do. That's so refreshing.
Yeah. And you know what? It is so funny that you should say that, because, you know, just like when you say something like that to somebody who's in the middle of it, you know what my first thing is? It's like, oh my gosh, you really just never arrive. I'm sorry. Every time. It's like God's funny kick in your butt, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
I got it. Oh, no, you didn't. Kabam!
Try again. No. And I think it takes courage to keep getting up and doing it again. I think some people, they quit. They just say, you know what? If I'm not good enough the way I am, I'm done. And in fact, I was talking to a man recently who said, I never considered becoming a better person. It was never in my repertoire. And as a result of that, of course, he went down a really bad path, did some very, very sick, inappropriate things, and has created lots of havoc in his life and the life of those he loves. But unlike you, who get back up again, he basically took the easier path, which was to say, I'm not worthy of it, therefore I quit. So I love that you do that. I think it's terrific.
You know, it's funny too, is like when you talk to people, because I do this for work, right? I mean, this is what I chose to do, to spend my time doing. But it's funny, like people in my family, they're like, this is becoming something. It's like, well, they don't want to get into any conversations with me because, you know, this is what you do for a living. So you're always going to kick our butt. And I'm like, no, it's just funny. Well, like,
maybe
like,
a little.
Well, you could do the same thing. You can do that. This isn't like I have a you have a PhD. I don't. I mean,
but it's not rocket science. It's not. I agree with you.
I don't think it is. I think it's hard work, but I don't think it's not like doing trigonometry or linear algebra or something. You know
what? I love what you just said. It's much harder to do than to understand, in my mind.
Yes.
Like, I get it. That doesn't mean it's easy to do always, but at least if you get it right. My problem, Kat, is people who don't get it right, and they're playing their life out against these false notions, and no wonder the life doesn't work. Like, they're not doing the things that are what you should be working on. They're false. They have false pretenses. In fact, one of our upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk about why is it people can't seem to see the truth about their error and themselves in relationships. They can only see their spouse or their friend or their child or their parent. They can't seem to see them. And today we're going to talk about something I really enjoy, which is, how do you talk to the different colors effectively? Like, you know, one of my four questions that I love to ask everyone is, who has loved you the most effectively? And the word that everyone pauses on is effectively. Everyone does. Because that really is telling. Like everyone, you can be loved. It doesn't mean you're not loved, but it's not necessarily effective, right? The people that love you effectively somehow get under the covers. They see you for who you are, and they communicate in the language that you receive. And I was thinking of a couple I worked with just yesterday. She's red, he's blue. He is craving a kind response. He's craving a gentle connection. And she is so angry. All she can do is just hit him everywhere she can. You don't hear me. You don't understand me. You don't care about me. On and on it went. Okay, so that was her issue. Was I said, you have got to learn to find a way to deal with your anger outside of yelling at him. That's not going to get you anywhere. And what I said to him was, you notice how she's jealous because you talk to other people, but you don't talk to her. She wants you to want her, and you don't. So your work is to find a way to make her feel wanted. And of course, his first response was, well, I don't want her the way she is. I said, see, again, you're making it about her first, then you. You got to make it about you first and not her. And I said to her the same thing. You're so angry, you don't see your role in what's keeping you from getting the thing you want most, which is to be wanted. You're not seeing that. So today we're going to talk just kind of generically, and also some specifics, about how do you talk to people in their color, right?
Yes.
And let's start with the reds, because we always do.
Yes.
Because they're easy to go for.
Because it's easy. So easy. Just so easy.
They really are. Well, listen, I got to tell you. So this week I had a very interesting experience. A red personality guy came to see me, married to a blue woman. And in their relationship, he's very genuine, but he wants to be the best he can be. He's a great entrepreneur, loves to build things, make things happen, get things done, very good at making businesses work, whatever. So he said, I realize that my wife and I struggle with some of the issues that go on. She wants more depth from me emotionally. And I think I'm as deep as I can go. Like, I don't know how much deeper I can really be, right? So that disappoints me for her, but maybe I'm missing something. Can you help me see inside myself and learn how to become more of what she wants? So we talked for a while and he said, you know, I said to my wife, I would say our marriage is a 60 to 80% good, that in that range. She goes, I feel 30% fulfilled. And he said, honestly, if I were you, I would divorce. Like, I would not settle for a 30% marriage, right? Which is interesting. So when I was talking with him, I said, I want to meet your wife. And here's what I said to him. You're a red. One of the things reds hate most in life is failure. They can't stand to fail. And right now you're programmed to do nothing but fail in your marriage with that mindset she has about you. So that's not motivating to bring out the best in you. It's actually driving you further away from believing you can become what she wants you to be. So I said, I just need to know her from her perspective. Like, is she too needy? Is what she wanting legitimate? Is she looking for you to make her happy? That's what I need to discover. And in the meantime, I said to him, it's really not okay for you to feel like you're carrying the burden of making her happy. That isn't what life's about, right? So red people, you got to be very direct with them. You can't beat around the bush. You can't make subtle thoughts hoping they'll figure it out. That is not what happens. They'll never figure
it out. Can I ask a question right here?
Yeah.
I have a question that's
we already have keeps... now. I hope you're proud of yourself. Yes.
Listen. Right. Listen. Ask the expert. So here, expert, is what I have. So when you talk about, I'm 60 to 80% fulfilled, I'm good. I don't know what's wrong with you. Can we? I mean, you know, we can figure out the other 20% or drink a cocktail and it won't matter. Or, and then you have the other side, well, I'm 30%. Do most people come into relationships? Are there all percentages across the board? Sometimes are people just spot on, like you and Gene?
Yeah.
You and Gene just like, you're 90%, she's 90%.
Right.
Did you just, did you walk into that?
No. Is it? Oh my God.
Does anybody walk into that, would you say?
Yeah, I think some may, but not typically. Very rare. It's a small number.
Okay. If they're truthful. If they're really truthful. Right.
Well, I mean, there are some people that I think their marriage is kind of boring, but they do really well with it. And they are more similar than not. So they actually can walk into that kind of a marriage. But most of us are opposites. So no, we have to earn it. It doesn't just come naturally.
Okay. Second part of this two-part question. So person who loved me most effectively, should that in these rules that we're talking about and in this bubble that we're talking about, wouldn't we want that person always number one at the top of the list to be our spouse?
Yes.
Okay. So if it's not my spouse, people who love me most effectively, I can stop and go, well, he's under the covers with me, but not the way I want him to be under the covers with me, like you said. Right.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. I'm just trying to get to that, like, because it's so easy for people to go, I'm 60%, I'm good, or everybody has these problems, I don't know what the big deal is. Or,
right.
You know?
No, you're right about that. That is another piece that we ought to talk about, is that sometimes people have such unrealistic expectations that they're going to make it impossible for them to ever be happy or their spouse.
Exactly.
That's definitely happened, right? And frankly, I think reds have less demands of that emotional piece in a marriage than other colors. I do. I think they're much more content than people think they are. They're typically blindsided when the partner says, I'm not satisfied. They're like, what? What more do you, what? I don't get it. What more do you need? Because they think they're giving what they were supposed to bring, but the other person is feeling left out, right? So in this case, that's exactly what happened. In fact, in another case I'm thinking about as well, he said to her over breakfast one day, I just got to be honest with you, I'm not happy. And she thought, I thought we were great. Well, okay, I'm happy. So tell me why you're not happy, right? No. She didn't go there. She said, I don't know what's wrong with you. I'm fine. Well, the best thing to say is hold them accountable. The very best thing, I wish our audience could learn this trait. It's like hold people accountable. So what you do with that, you say to the person, so tell me what would make you feel fulfilled. Tell me what you're looking for. Because if what they have is unrealistic expectations, then it's not going to happen. You need to call that out. if what they're saying is very legitimate, you're just ignoring it, you missed it, then good. Then you can learn from that and know what you need to work on. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. So that's good. Okay. So you were talking about reds, and thank you for answering those questions. And
always ask those. That's just terrific. Okay. I love it. So they crave respect, right? So mm-hmm. I think it's important that if you're going to challenge a red, you tell them what you respect about them, what you like about them. Like if they have a good mind, like they're really good in their mind, mm-hmm. tell them that. Don't sit there and say, you're so pathetic when it comes to emotion. You're so limited. Like you have no ability to understand what touch is all about or whatever they might be limited in, right? Give them grace for what they're good at. Tell them what you appreciate about them and have them able to kind of figure things out. That's a good place to start. And let them know that on an ongoing basis. That's important.
Okay.
Respect them. Then you might say, look, let's work on some skills that would make you feel more comfortable being emotionally connected to me. Like there are things you probably don't even think about that matter to me. And let's see if we can make those happen. If you're then you're a teammate with them, you're working together with them, instead of why don't you go figure it out and then come back and we'll see if you did it very well. And then I'll just check the boxes if I see them happening. And if I don't, then I'll just say one more time, you're a failure, right? So I think it's very important as reds, you are succinct, mm-hmm. you are specific, you are respectful. Those kinds of things are critical. Don't give them this overwhelming, sometimes I'll hear somebody kind of do a yarn on how they want the red to be. And by the time they're done, I'm even like over the top. I'm like, what did you really just say? Be very specific as to what you're looking for. And it's horrible when someone says, I really don't know how to say it. I just would know it when I saw it.
Oh, gosh. Like, that drives me crazy.
That's like playing darts in the dark. Like, good luck. Right. That one, right? So I think it's important.
Well, that's a sign that you're not taking enough time to sit in what it is. That's kind of, to me, that feels like, I don't know, you figure it out and then I'll tell you if you hit it. Nope, that's not it. Nope, no, you're still not there. Nope, you're way off base. Cold, you're cold, you're really cold. It's like, come on.
Oh my gosh, that is so classic. And it's so self-righteous. Like, yes. I know, but you don't. So figure it out. When you get there, I'll tell you. So no, you can't do that with them. And the other thing is, remember, reds like seeds. So give them some success. Like, don't make it this overarching goal that by the time they get there, it's been a year. Like, give them something along the way they can see that I've actually done well. That's a good thing for them.
Oh, that's good because they do struggle with vulnerability. So that place of emotional exposure, I mean, for all of us, but especially a red personality, is really hard.
Yes.
You can shut them down just by emotional exposure and, you know, that place of risk without, because they want to be right. Is that's correct? You know, they want to do it right.
So much so. It matters to them. Yeah. And you can't dismiss their vulnerability. Like,
no.
People literally say to me, like, he's never vulnerable. And so I say, well, what about that time when he told you that you were the one person in life he trusted the most, and he really opened up about his feelings from his childhood? And I've had this client say to me, well, there was that, I guess. And I'm like, well, you see, you're so dismissive of something that was very personal for him. Like, you need to kind of take that and embrace it for what it really was. So I think sometimes when you're dealing with reds, you think of them as the strong, bold, capable individual, whether it's male or female. And you forget that when you drag them into the emotional world, they are very vulnerable. It is not fake. So they should reward them for things that they do in that world that make a difference. You really should. Okay?
Oh, it's just so good because, you know, I just see so many times that we just want to put unhealthy people want to put that in their place, like, you know, put them in their place, like, wrong.
I want to teach you back all the things you've done to me.
So you're good. Right. Gosh.
Yeah. If vengeance is where you're coming from, it's just a poor, you'll never win. You'll never gain. It's not going to happen. You want to build trust. So the way to build trust is you become part of the team they're on.
Mm-hmm.
Not your adversary, checking boxes to see if they arrive or not.
Mm-hmm.
How can I make this work for you and appreciate things that are really good about them, right? I will say in all fairness that there are a lot of reds who are somewhat limited in understanding the breadth of what they could be in a relationship. So if they, like, they earn the money, for example, I mean, there's a lot of people, they think that's what they're doing to make you happy. And it's really good if you don't beat them up for it by saying, well, it's not enough. That's not what I want. You show them ways they can make you happy beyond the money. You don't take away the fact that they are making money. Be grateful for that. But say to them, I really want you to know how much I appreciate that. And there's other things I would like to, you know, reminds me of Kat. there's people in a classroom that are raising their hand all the time. They have the answers. Yes. And the teacher says, I want somebody other than you to raise their hand. Why do you put down the person who's trying so hard? Say to the person who's raising their hand, you are so good and so engaged. Thank you for that. Let's see if we can find some others who are as courageous as you are. I mean, thank the
rest. Oh, I love that.
You know, give
them. Gosh, you know, that's so true. It's so true what we do to people. And it's like those people that want to, you know, they almost become annoying. And it's because of what you just said, the structure that we set up of, it's almost like you can never get it right, right? Know the answer. Oh, don't know the answer all the time. Oh, well, you're not answering at all. I mean, it's just like that in relationships, right? It's like you really have to address each step and then ask for feedback on that. And that's what I hear you saying.
100%. Like, and you can't move the goalposts. You can't keep moving the goalposts and saying, well, what I really meant was, that's not right. You're not helping them succeed. So let's talk about the blues for a minute. So the blues, the blues are on a totally different trajectory. Than the Reds. Theirs is much more emotion-based. It's very personal. Mm-hmm. And their needs are greater than a Red, typically. Typically, what they want emotionally is what a Red wants intellectually. So they want to feel your energy, feel that you're connecting, feel that they matter. And Blues, by the way, are much harder on themselves than Reds. So in general, they too want to excel and be good, but they typically feel unworthy. Typically feel there's too many things that are wrong with them. The thing that when you communicate with a blue, I can tell you right now, I have learned this. It's so powerful. They want to be understood. Like they want you to understand the whole story. And I am intrigued by how long that may take sometimes to really get to where they're understood. See, I don't care to be understood. Doesn't matter to me at all. And because of that, I don't have to tell you all the details of how I got where I am. But if I'm blue, you can't appreciate why I'm where I am unless you understand how I got there. Does that make sense? That's why.
Yeah, from their perspective, that they have to tell you how deep it is.
Yes, right? Yes.
They have to tell you how deep it is. I couldn't understand it unless I know how deep it is.
Right. That's 100% true. So you're more effective is what I'm saying. If you're willing to go there with them. Take the time to be with them and just listen to where they're coming from and why it's so important to them, right? And you can't hurry them along and you can't do it a one-time deal. It's not like a one-off, you check a box with a blue. It's like ongoing. Like they have these, like I have a son and a daughter-in-law who have a blue child and she's yellow and he's white. And they're like, my child is bipolar. Like he is literally moody. I can't understand how he could be so moody. And I said, oh my gosh, you got some good years ahead. Because blues steal things all the time. So they could be like as happy as a lark 1 minute. And the next minute they're like, ah, I can't listen anymore. And no one loves me either.
So true. It's like my husband's blue and I'm yellow. Yes. So like when we have a fight, it's so funny, Taylor, that you're talking about this. It's like, I'm finally getting it after 20 years this year. After 20 years this year, we have a fight. I'm over it in like, you know, seven minutes is a long time for me to carry stuff, right? Like 4 days later, I'm like, are you still thinking about that?
100%. And I'll tell you another one with your husband and with blues in general.
Yeah.
They are fear-based. Many, many blues, most blues are fear-based. So typically we're not. Yellows are not fear-based. So it is fair for us to simply put on them, well, don't be afraid. Because they are.
Einstein. Yeah, like I haven't considered that. Yeah, thanks.
Oh, that's
click off the radio right now.
Oh, 100%. I mean, take their fear and tell them, I get it. You think of all the possibilities, the what ifs. No wonder if I did that, I'd have the same problem. I get it. It's not easy for you just to kind of put that aside. But I want you to know I'm here. And together we'll figure this out. We will find our way. Because that's where other people are so good for blues that they just because the blues, you know, as well as I do, are the ones that carry the trophy across the line. They're the ones that get all the work done. But they just have to know that they're okay doing it, that it's going to happen, which is really what colors have a gift for, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So be gentle is what I'm saying with blues. Like they do, they just need to know you understand that they're struggling with fear, but that you're committed to both of you making it happen. And by the way, blues feel like more of like a team. They like that more than
No, for sure. And I was going to say the thing that comes up for me so strongly with all my blues in my life that, you know, they just are, you know, just bring so much stuff that I can't even get my head around. I'm so thankful.
Right.
Grateful.
Right.
Is that, you know, it's so funny. They keep checking in. Even the one I'm married to that I've lived with for 20 years and I'm yellow. If I was going to go, I would have been gone a long time ago. Yeah. Right. But it's so funny because he still is like that. You know, I just don't want you to leave. I just don't want you to go. That abandonment thing is really, it's not an issue. It's just like, that's still in his brain a little
bit. It's real. It is real. No, you're absolutely right. And that's something you have a hard time comprehending because that's like, well, of course I'm not going to go. Why would have gone before now? But that's not, that's such a great way to understand and appreciate about blue. They're never security. Security, you know how freedom is so big for you and me?
Yes.
Security is for the blue.
Yes.
And you're thinking of all people, you should be the most secure. You're so good at what you do.
Oh,
you're
so genuine,
loyal, but they don't necessarily feel it. They really don't.
No, so, that's, they don't see what they bring. And it's like, I keep going, honey, I would wake up in a Motel 6, you know, with a half a carton of milk. You know, I mean, my life would be so terrible. You know,
that is so perfect. I say to my wife, now let's get this right. Okay. So just in case you die before me, I want everything done because I'm not going to do a thing once you go. I promise you. So whatever you want my house to look like or my life to look like, better get it done before you go.
So true.
So they do have something they bring, but they do struggle with that sense of loyalty and abandonment. You're absolutely right about that. Let's talk about whites for a minute.
Okay.
Whites are the most difficult. I think whites for most people are like, I don't get them. I mean, I don't understand where they're coming from. They can be so stubborn, right? Mm-hmm. Here's the deal about whites that I love the most. Whites crave kindness, even when they're not kind. Like they have decided you're being unkind to me gives me all the right in the world to be stubborn. And they'll sit there and they'll win every argument because they don't argue. So at the end of the day, you're not going to make any headway with a white unless you can find a way to be kind. If you can't do that, you will not get to the white and you'll not be effective. So think about that. Whites are very logical. It's not a compassionate thing, an emotional thing with them. It's much more of a safety thing, kindness. Is it safe for me to explore my feelings now? Or are you going to hammer me again? It's a big thing with whites.
So that's what kindness means, which means you're not going to push me on an issue to them. Is that what that means?
Too much so that I don't have a say. Don't overpower me.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, and I don't want people to think I think it's easy, by the way. I think it's very, especially reds and blues who want to control things. It's a nightmare for them because you can't control the white by inserting your dogma. You can't just make it a real thing for them. Mm-hmm. They have part of it. And the way you do that is you have to invite them into the conversation. Oftentimes, they don't want to converse. They just want to listen. You're like, I need to hear what you're thinking. So I've learned that you can be very direct with whites, just not mean-spirited. So if you're saying something, be direct. Don't couch it. But at the same time, don't be mean-spirited. That's where they'll struggle.
And you really can't demand that. I mean, not that you can demand anything from anybody, but you can't.
No, you
know, sometimes like with reds and blues and yellows, I think it's easier to, you know, to figure out the engagement point. It's really hard sometimes for whites to understand that engagement point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I agree with you. They're waiting to be asked. And even when they're asked, they're hesitant. That's a great point. I agree with you. I think one of the hardest things with whites is to get them to realize that I'll wait for you if you'll engage. I mean, I'm willing to have some downtime.
Yes.
If you'll come into the conversation. But typically what happens is the whites wait so long that by the time they get the courage to speak about it, the conversation's moved on and they don't want to interrupt you.
So what kind of things do you use to engage a white that, I mean, like say somebody waits too long. I mean, what would you do?
One thing I would write, I would definitely write. I've encouraged many people to write to the white, let them think about it.
Let them,
they don't feel like they're on the spur of the moment, having to respond.
On the spot. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's not real comfortable for whites. But they want time to think about it, right? And the other thing is, I've been able to just slow down. Like, I'm slow. I am quick. I want to engage. I want to move on. I don't want to think about it. I've just learned, don't make it about you, Taylor. It's not about you. It's about them. Like, just give them a chance to engage in the conversation. And then I will say to them, so why don't you just share what you're thinking in your head right now? I don't know what that is, but let's just go there. And let's see if we can sort out how it makes sense. If they feel like I will not attack them for saying the wrong thing, far more likely to engage me. If they're afraid that I'm going to attack everywhere they present it, then they're not going to put it out there. Because they don't
get
fool.
For sure.
Whites don't tend to do well with knowing how to express what they feel. They can't put words to it. So if they feel like I'm going to jump on everything they say and then hold them to it, they're less likely to engage. Right? So slow down. Okay. Slow, take a breath. Just ask questions. And so tell me how it makes you feel. What are you thinking about this? Give it time. Yeah, it's really important with a white. It's very important. Yep. Yep.
All right. Taking notes.
Yeah, it's still good. White. Well, that's the beauty of you. One of our listeners wrote in and said, I just want you to know, it just reminds me that when you say things, I forgotten about that limitation. I don't want that to hurt people. I want to work on that. I'm like, who are these people that are so willing to grow and change and evolve that instead of getting petty or rigid or how dare he say that, they're like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. I need to get back on that. I need to work on that again. That's so inviting to me.
You know, one thing that has kind of been an aha for me, my mom has moved in with me in the last month and is staying with me for a while. And she's very, very, very white. And, you know, I'm very yellow. And I just have a whole new appreciation. I don't think even before this time, I mean, I just listening to her and appreciating where she's at now, the impact of that white, I actually get to be a little more free around her than anybody because she doesn't hold me. It's just interesting. She doesn't do anything to me that makes me feel like I have to shift or change or put myself in a different spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah, they're not very judgmental. They really aren't.
No.
Like you, even if they are judgmental, they won't say it. Like it's still not my life. Right.
Right. Right.
I think great insight. And what a great thing you're appreciating that now as she's at the end of her life. That's really cool.
Yes. Yeah.
I like
it. It's been good. It's been really good.
Well, I've always believed, and I've often said this, that whites are like a gentle breeze in the summer. Just that wonderful sense of how they are. Mm-hmm. If you allow the breeze to be captivating. But if you're like judgmental of it, critical, unwilling to wait for it, then you'll never experience that breeze. It'll never happen. So I'm glad you're experiencing that with her, especially now.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
So let's go to the yellow. Speaking of us. Yellows are interesting. I'll say it again. You'll be far more effective with a yellow if you adore them. If you don't adore them, you're already behind the eight ball. So what you're saying may be true, by the way. But if they don't feel adored, they're less likely to hear it. So I'm just telling you, if you want to be effective, then you got to like them.
Is the need to be adored needy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, the healthier you get as a yellow, the less you require that to hear truth. That's the beauty.
That was my next question. Yeah, or psychic. That's cool. So that was my next question. So the healthier I get as a yellow, I don't need adoring.
No, not in the same level. No, you're far more willing to say it doesn't matter whether you adore me or not. It's true. What you're saying is right. And I need to embrace that. As we evolve outside of our limitations, we actually much more comfortable to communicate with. And we don't require, like, for example, I love positive. I do not like negative, right? Mm-hmm. I'm with negative. I didn't used to be, but I get it now. People look at things differently than I do. So what? Doesn't mean they're wrong. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean you have to tell me things that are always upbeat. There's nothing wrong with some saying that does not work for me. Okay, that's fine. Remember when I told you I realized not everybody wants to be happy? Okay. Mm-hmm. Like just that awareness of instead of it having to be on my terms, why can't it be on their terms, right? So if things I do are not adorable, that's fine. If what they're telling me is good for me and truth, I'm in. But I will tell you that most yellows that are not evolved are needing of the adoration. And they do need positive. They're like a student in school is much more likely. It's so funny with yellow kids in school. They're adored and loved by certain teachers and hated by others, literally. And the same kid. but because certain kids are certain yellows, they get adored by certain teachers because they're playful and they're engaging and social and charismatic. And then other teachers are like, no, you don't do your work. You're getting away with murder. You're not stepping up to the plate. And they don't at all. And so the yellow doesn't respond to them, right? So I think it's very important when you're with a yellow that you kind of have a joyfulness about you, kind of an air of acceptance and happiness that brings much more engaging with the yellow than if you're always negative or critical. Critical is probably good. If it's never good enough, a yellow says, well, then, you know, who cares? If I'm critical with a blue, they're like, you're right. I know this. That's weakness. I need to work on that. Not a yellow. They'll look at it and go, oh my gosh, you're so negative. I can say the same criticism of a blue or a yellow, and they have a totally different reaction, right?
That's illuminating, right? You just have to look at that one piece. And I was just reading this thing about, have you ever heard of this thing called the OK plateau? Have you heard of that concept?
No, tell me about it.
It's just interesting as we're talking about this, because it's like, you're aware of something, you work on it. And it's kind of like, it's just like any other curve that like you, you know, you start out in the bottom corner, left corner, and you work up a little bit and the line grows, and then you get to be okay at something. And then that line flattens out, and that's that, I'm okay plateau. Yeah. And as you're talking about this, it's like the only thing that gets you out of that okay plateau is feedback, is you have to ask for feedback. And as you're talking about yellows, I think that would be something that, you know, well, you're negative. I'm not going to talk to you. That feedback, you really have to be healthy to go, I'm going to ask for feedback, and I'm not going to just go, well, you're just a negative person, because it serves my ability to not have to look at it. Right.
So good. That's so good. I love that insight. Like for yellows, if they're healthy enough to say, look, I realize the criticism may not be something positive, but it is positive in the end. Because I can actually grow. And so your mindset is shifted, right? I don't see it as negative. I see it as good feedback for me. But I liked your comment. You have to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, it won't come.
And as you've tied the self-awareness around, you know, like we've talked about self-awareness and the EQ points, but that self-awareness piece to me is like, it's funny when people, well, I'm self-aware, and I always say, well, when was the last time you asked for feedback?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I don't. Well, I read, I listen to podcasts. Well, but when's the last time you ask specific feedback on yourself?
Oh, wow.
And that's the only way I think, like what we're talking about, Taylor, effective relationships, like you just, when you said that, it just exploded in my mind. It's like yellows, I struggle with that. Like, you know, I mean, now I'm like, I really want your feedback. It's hard to hear, but before it was so easy to blow it off because you're negative or you're arrogant or you're something or you're this or you're that, or you don't know me. You don't know my life. You don't know what I've been through.
Well, and typically as a yellow, you just go to somebody else who likes you. Like, or they don't And you're right.
I will find somebody who gives me good stuff. I will.
Yes, exactly. They don't want the dark stuff. That's on you. No, I think that's a great insight. That's where we need to grow, honestly. Yes. So I think it's such this kind of a tip off again. We need to quit for today because it's been rousing and fun. But I want everyone to think about, just know there are effective ways to communicate with each of the colors. And the more effective you are, the more happier your life's going to be, the more meaningful it will be with relationships. Kat, always a pleasure. Love you to death. Our listeners, thank you so much for always being with us. And we love your feedback. As you can tell, send us more at taylor@taylorhartman.com or Kat. No, is it Kathy?
Kathy with a C
at taylorhartman.com. Signing off for today. Thanks again. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye now.
Hey, Color Code family. It's Kathy Larson. I want you to take down a number. I want you to put this in your contact list under the people code. The number is 385-526-2350. Again, 385-526-2350. Text the word VIP to that number, and you'll get back from us a request for your name and your email. That way, we'll be in touch with you on anything that's happening at the People Code, any offerings, exciting things that are coming up, and you can let us know what your needs are by texting us at that number. Look forward to staying connected even more. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.